I'm voice actor Jeff Williams, and when I'm not busy being a crack dealer, because I'm also a chiropractor, I listen to another VO podcast. Thanks for listening. Now let's turn it over to this gaggle of knuckleheads.
Hey, Charles, what did the five fingers say to the face?
Seriously, I'll be here all week. Tip you waiters.
Hey, welcome back. It's another VO podcast. You have the gang of four here hanging out today. How's everybody doing?
Yep.
Pretty good.
Doing pretty good. It's Monday.
The leisure life.
The leisure life.
Yeah. That's my way of saying it's slow. It's still kind of slow.
Today's been slow. I think I've done three auditions.
It's been a weird month.
It has.
Considering how the first 3 months went, and then it's like April, somebody turned a switch and it got a little different.
March for me.
I worked.
You turned the switch off.
Well, I worked some.
You're like somebody hit the switch all the way down.
You know, it's just not, I've usually got something almost every day, and it just has not been nearly like that.
Yeah, I've not had a stretch like this since going full time. So,
yeah.
Trying to keep my chin up.
Well, it's all you can do. It's 90% attitude, and, you know, it's all we can do. We just got to keep fighting the fight, because it's not just, you know, I hear a few people say, oh, I'm so busy, it's going to be a month before I can talk to you about it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, great. But most people I've talked to are seeing what we're seeing. It's
that's the thing with the business, though, right? Like, for me this month, it's not bad. Hadn't been bad.
What about March? Right? How was that for you, Charles?
March was okay. It wasn't the best.
It's cyclical, though.
Yeah.
You know,
March was going good for me until I got sick.
But then that's the thing. Like, maybe next, like, there's going to be, you know, between the four of us, even between the four of us, you know, it's a chart like this.
It comes and goes. Yeah. I mean, like, and that's just something you see. I mean, like, every time that I've had a downtime, and I've had short downtimes, and I've had long downtimes, but then it'll pick back up, and then sometimes it does, like, pick back up, and you're like, what the crap? Like,
for sure. Know?
I found a direct correlation for me with auditions. There's a direct correlation. The more auditions I do, the busier I am.
Yeah, because when I got sick, I couldn't audition for a couple weeks there, and I think I'm going to have to catch back up to that.
Yeah. Well, Charles, you do book a lot when you audition, for sure. But sometimes, just because you're getting a lot of auditions doesn't necessarily, you know, mean you're going to be busy, because you have to.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, I know. I mean, like, you do book pretty often, and, like, you probably got a great booking ratio. But sometimes the auditions just aren't coming in. You know what I mean?
True. Mm-hmm. Very true.
And, like, you can't do anything about that. I mean, like, obviously, like, you can direct market, but direct marketing doesn't guarantee you work.
No.
It's just, you know. That's what
it is. Well, I mean, and agencies, and my agent auditions last week, or the week before, like, on the bottom of my weekly chart that I make, I handwrite in my auditions from my agents. And 2 weeks ago, it was like the bottom was full, like, stuff from every agent, every managing group. And then last week, it was like four. I mean, the four.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this week I haven't gotten anything today from an agent or a management group. But, you know, that's like you said, Jake, you can't control auditions that come in.
I got a couple, maybe three.
One of them I thought, I don't know if I want to do that or not. But after I read the specs again, I did it. And Jake, you probably got it. It was the one about the steak. And they wanted, like, an AMSR read and then
ASMR?
A regular read. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever you call it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did that one. And then I also did, there was one for Lays that came through.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and all you said was Lays.
Then I got another one for Wall, but it looked like a one I had seen already. So I don't know if that was a second round or not. It wasn't mentioned, but I did it anyway.
Like Wall paint?
No, I think it was
for tools trimmers. Or something?
Might be trimmers.
Oh, yeah, wall trimmers. Yeah.
I thought I had already done it, and maybe I have, but it didn't say anything about a second round of casting, and it was sent to me by an agent that normally is pretty good about, like, pinpointing, oh, you haven't submitted through this. So, I mean, like, I did it again, and I mean, like, whatever. So, you know.
It's funny, though, because, like, there was one that came in on 1-2-3, and, like, you look at the read, and, you know, like, we can look at the read and the wording, and you could tell that there's, like, a comedic twist to it. And it kind of probably needs, like, you could picture the, you could picture the commercial just by, like, it's like you could really picture the commercial by the script. But then in the description, they want something totally like a different kind of read. So I did it. And then I saw the same audition come up like 5 days later. And then it had new specs on there.
Huh.
Right? Like the tone and this and that they wanted. And then I saw it again like 4 days later. And the specs that they had was what I was thinking the very first time I saw it. And it's the same script, same everything. It's just the specs were a little bit different.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that happen before, and you're always like, then what did you really want? Yeah, and then
they
sometimes
never know
what
they want.
Sometimes I think those are like what you're reading isn't the actual real job. But like I've seen people use the same script with different specs like over like a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there was one, there's one audition that I see kind of circulate around voices like over the course of a year. Same script, different things, you know, different specs. And I'm sure that whatever the real script is, they're not sharing for whatever reason, you know?
Yeah. I'm just glad there's been, I don't know, 2-3 posts lately in some of the VO groups that the conversational read is dying.
Really?
Yes.
I've read that a couple times.
They're wanting more personality. They're wanting more of upspeak and
more quirky.
Yeah. Anything but flat conversational, that it's starting to trend off quite a bit.
So is it going back to kind of more like
not announcers? No, not announcer, just a more persona. And you know, we have been saying this that the specs would say conversational, laid back, you know, this.
Then you listen
to the
actual
and then the
spot
gets cast, and that's not what it cast.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
They're upbeat and lively. Hey, come on in and get this, and this. They're not going, hey, come on in and get this, and this.
You know what I think it is a lot of the times is like the casting directors like take what the client gives them, and then they put that out there. And it's like, we want someone who sounds real and conversational, and then they put that out there. Then they get that. Then they hire somebody. They put them in a session, and the client's like, now we want it to sound not like this at all. And it's like, do you even know what you want? I think a lot of the times, I mean, like I'm not harping on clients, but I think a lot of the times the reason it's different is because the client doesn't actually know how to describe what they want.
They know what they want in their head, but the words they can't
communicate
that,
or they don't know how to
Well, and I think the conversational like because we're like okay announcer read, like we know what that is, and conversational read. So when we hear conversational, I think a lot of times we just think it's like okay conversational is like you're talking to your neighbor, but talking to your neighbor, right, or talking to somebody is never just this flat tone, like conversational. Hey, we're going to talk about this today and blah, 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 blah. Conversational could be, hey, what's going on? Like you have some personality in there. Like you're talking to your neighbor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
That's so I think how I conversational. Talk to Charles outside of this, I'm always like, hey, Charles, it's me.
It's Jake.
It's Jake. No,
but
come
that's
to
the thing.
Door.
I think in conversational, there's that. It encompasses so many different emotions in conversation, right? So you can have a conversational whatever, but with the right emotion and the right amount of quote unquote energy in it. And that's, like you said, Troy, that's when I hear the winning, when I hear the winning auditions and I hear the commercials, it's okay. That's not really conversational in my head of what I was thinking conversational is, but it's, if you think about it, yeah, it's conversational, but they're just really themselves and talking about things. And, you know, they have, there's some melody to it. It's not just this flat, I'm just talking to my neighbor like this, and it's going to be the best thing ever, you know?
Yeah, because I always hate that description. Act like you're talking to your neighbor. Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, what if your neighbor's a jerk off?
Or what if you don't, what if they talk a little too much and you don't like talking to them? So like, you're like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I got to.
As you're stepping back
the garage,
and they're stepping
the
up towards you.
You never see them.
Yeah.
And
like
as you're stepping into your car and close the door and then they're still talking to you. And so you roll down the window a little bit and they're still talking to you and you start creeping the window
out.
Well,
I love living in the country. My neighbors never come over. Never
come over. Your neighbor is wildlife, Troy.
Yeah. So let me try to put this car back on the road.
Oh, man, it's been almost 10 minutes and we haven't even talked about the topic yet.
We got to get into this a little bit. I want to talk about, and we see this all the time in different places where people are saying, this is how you get into voiceover. This is how you do it. You have to do it this way. I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to preface that with, don't put the cart before the horse. It's that old saying. And what I mean by that is sometimes people are doing things in a real bass-ackwards order. They're joining a pay-to-play before they've ever had coaching. They, you know, they're building a website is a second thing they do, and they put a website up, and they still have, they've had no coaching. They're not ready. Mm-hmm. There's about 10 basic steps that we've kind of kicked around and think that might work if you kind of follow this pattern. You know, it doesn't have to be exact. And I'll start with saying one of the first things is, in my opinion, is you become a student and you study. You listen to podcasts. You watch people on YouTube. You visit their websites and listen to their demos. You get to learn the lingo and understand what voiceover is and what it's about and understand all the different genres. And you start having an idea of, okay, when I get ready to do this, I think I want to go this way because I want to learn to do this, this, and this. And these are people that I've watched that are good at it. And you kind of go from there. You know, you study. Step one.
Yeah. And another thing you can do is, what do they call it? You be a lurker. You know what I mean? Like get on like the Facebook groups or something like that. Maybe like see, get on the Facebook group. See if you notice or recognize anybody. See if they have like, I don't know, like some social media or something like that. Like just like TikTok or Instagram is a good place, or even YouTube too. I mean, like go look at their shorts, see what they do. I mean, like where are they recording from? Their booth, obviously, but what does their booth look like? Or, you know, just like get in there and like kind of see how they're doing things and see that. And that's kind of how I like, I noticed, like I would see people do voiceover from something that would look like, you know, like this booth kind of thing, or, you know, and it's just like, okay, so they're obviously like, they're in a booth. How do you do that? Then you can like, you know, research how to like build a booth or something like that. You can, or, you know, there's ways to do one with PVC pipes. There's ways to convert your closet. Mine's a converted closet. There's ways to steal wood from people that are building houses and build your own, Charles. Yeah, I mean, just be a lurker and notice what other people are doing and see how you can kind of build, you know, maybe take things from different people that fits your situation, you know?
He went from vocal booth to go to vocal booth I borrowed.
Yeah. No, I went from a comforter over my head to a literal hobo fort because I got the stuff from next to a dumpster. So
right, and there is some hobo out there that did not get to build his own fort because
I ganked it from him.
You captivated the lumber first. Well, but Jake, to follow up on those websites, those places you're going to be lurking. If you join one of those groups, you're going to find like workout opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can go to those workouts. You can start to hear and see how people respond to, you know, direction. They may have some scripts they're going over. And it might be something like Troy, you and Jenna have done the automotive workouts. Yep. You haven't done one of those in a while, but those are a great opportunity to get in. Hear your voice into a microphone. You can be brand new and just try it. Just see what it's about. Go through the exercise of reading a read and hearing what other people are doing, paying attention to the directions that they're receiving, and internalize that. Start to learn how when you go back into your hobo fort, you can practice with those things in mind.
Yeah, and for sure. And you know, talking about like, I mean, even the being a lurker and kind of hanging out and being in the background to learn a little bit, that's okay too. And the thing is, most of the Facebook groups, like, you know, as you can, you know, you can go through the search function and find topics that have already been talked about, and then it's okay to ask questions because the voiceover community, most of the Facebook groups, they're great. It's a plethora of knowledge, and they're happy to help out, and they're happy to help you, you know, answer your questions and stuff. So those are definitely,
they usually stay on topic.
Yeah, those are definitely,
they do.
You know,
unlike us who just get off on tangents sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Sometimes.
Yeah. I think another thing is to read, like a lot.
And you know what? People hate reading.
I hate
reading. You know,
and
what I mean?
Reading out loud.
Yeah, out
and
loud.
Actually, this is one of the first things that a coach had told me when I first started, and it's like read anything, and the key is to do it out loud, right? Read magazines. Read the ingredients off the back of the thing. I mean, read as much as you can. Right? News articles, stories, Google articles, whatever it is. And
something
because,
you enjoy even.
Of course, because what that's going to do is you saying it out loud is going to help your brain and your mouth kind of work together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, dedicate 20 to 30 minutes a day. And if you can't do it in a big chunk, do it while you're doing other things in the house that you do a couple times a day. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what I do? I read signs of, like, while I'm driving down the highway, whether it's like the highway exit, like I'll see a store or something like that. Like, I'll just be riding with my girlfriend and I'll see like a Take Five and I'll be like, Take Five. You know, I mean, like just random things like that. Yeah. You know?
I drive my wife nuts doing that.
I saw there was like a driving by a Golden Chick one time with my mom and I said, Golden Chick.
And then she looked at you like, what?
She started laughing. I said more than that, but I don't know if I want to go any further. Okay. But she was laughing by the time I got
My 16-year-old has started doing some of that.
Oh, really?
Like, there'll be a commercial, and sometimes we'll mute the commercials just for the audio break. We're watching.
Does he do his own version, or has he memorized?
Yeah, he does his own version. Oh, nice. He'll read some of the captions or whatever that pop up on the screen, or if there's, you know, a sign on the road like you were talking about, Jake, he'll read that.
Yeah.
And just be kind of out of the blue. He's entertaining himself.
I'm sure. Well, that's, and honestly, like, that's a lot of it is just entertaining yourself, and that's how you have fun. So,
Sure.
Hey there, J. Rodney Turner here. If you need a little entertainment, or if you want to break up the monotony of your day, listen to another VO podcast. These four boys won't steer you wrong. I promise.
I mean, Alden, you mentioned workshops, and I think once you've practiced reading, you've done those things, you definitely should go to workshops. Go to the cheaper ones. You don't want to get in front of
right.
You want to get in front of coaches. Not in front of casting agents and agents.
Not off the bat, anyway.
Right. Yeah, not yet. Mm-hmm. Start out getting in front of coaches that have these workshops. There's a bunch of them out there. And then you can, like you were saying, you can hear feedback, see how people are directed and all that stuff. You also have an opportunity to meet that coach and see how they train and to see if it'll fit your personality. It may
see
be somebody
makes sense to
you. Yeah, you may come back to them later for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. And honestly, like if you've looked into all of that, then you can decide whether or not you want to invest. And investment can be at any aspect of voiceover. You can invest in maybe, again, coaching and whatnot, but then you can invest, like we were talking about earlier, in like figuring out how to get a booth. Like some people have enough that they can invest in ordering like a whisper room or something like that.
Oh, that would have been nice.
That would have been nice, right? I mean, everyone's situation is different. Some people just have the money to do it, invest it. Some people have to like save it up. But you can start small. That's the thing. Like you don't have to like spend a bunch up front to get your voiceover career going or get your journey into voiceover going. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, I mean, it does take an investment. And again, you can start with what you need, what you feel like you need first. And that should be, a lot of it should be coaching and then figuring out your space. And, you know, you're going to have to get some equipment at first. Does it have to be the best? No, it should be a decent quality. So you're going to have to do your research there. But I mean, like, you could expect to probably invest maybe over the first 2 years, anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000, something like that. I mean, maybe even more depending.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
again, you can space it out and don't feel like if you don't have that money. I mean, like, keep in mind, like, you can find, as Charles has said multiple times, you can find places to cut back. You know, maybe don't go to McDonald's, you know, as often as you do or whatever, you know, maybe cut back on something. Maybe don't gamble all the time like I do, but, you know, just find things to cut back on so you can start. If this is something you really want to do after considering the things we've talked about so far, workshops, workouts and all that stuff. I mean, there are free resources out there to get you going as far as like getting practice and whatnot with everybody.
Call 1-888 for help.
Right, exactly. but then it's time to, if you really want to do this, then you really have to decide to invest into it because it's not free to get into voiceover, you know?
Right.
It is definitely not free.
No, it is not free. And the coaching that you see in the workshops and the workouts, a lot of those are going to be led by somebody who does one-on-one coaching. So you can go to a workshop and get to know their personality, get to know how they coach, and that can be a trial, and you spend less money doing the workshop than you would in a one-on-one coaching session. When you hire a one-on-one coach, most of the time, they require you to purchase 3, 4, 5 sessions. Am I right? I mean, that's most of them.
For sure.
And so if you're going to invest that amount of money, you want to research that coach and make sure that they're going to be a good fit. go check out their Instagram page. It might just be silly videos, but you're going to know their personality.
Right.
You're going to get to see them and not interact with them, but you can. You can put a comment up there, you know, go comment on Brad Hyland's, you know, post on whatever, you know, that he's doing. Or whatever coach you're looking into, you can find that. And they're going to be able to help you if you aren't sure about your space, if you aren't sure about your audio. They can give you some advice on what they're hearing on their end.
Yep.
And that can be a part of that coaching. It's not just, here's your lines, read your lines, here's the feedback.
Right.
There's more to it. All the coaches that I've worked with give feedback that's very positive and helpful in those arenas of voiceover as well. And where to find auditions too, you know.
Right, exactly. And your coach should be able to, again, like you said, tell you those things, give you feedback on how your sound is. They may not be audio experts, but they at least have a good enough ear to like know and hear, you know, things to be able to tell you how good your sound is. They'll also be able to tell you if they think you're ready to start auditioning. They'll also be able to tell you if they think you're ready to start recording a demo. You know what I mean? Like that, a good coach will do that. And hopefully a good coach wouldn't upsell you too quickly. There's some coaches that don't produce, but there are coaches that do produce demos. Mm-hmm. And you just have to ultimately decide if you trust them. I mean, like some that we've, let's see. I know Brad doesn't produce demos, but he would be on it. Brad Hyland's a great person to tell you the truth. They'll tell you like, I think you're ready for a demo. You may not be ready for a demo. And then we know good demo producers that won't. I mean, Michael Kusman, we had him on the show. I mean, like great guy.
Kusman.
And Kusman? Sorry. Couscous. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. speaking of tangents, no. But I mean, like, just make sure you trust who you're talking to and that they're not trying to upsell you too quick. If you're new and they're already talking about a demo, you might be in one of those situations where they're just trying to grab your money.
Yeah.
But you also could just be really good, too. Like, who knows?
Every coach that's worth the time and money is usually going to do a pre-interview.
Yeah,
for sure.
And usually they that's free, like a 15-minute consult or something.
Yeah.
They
want to get to know you, and that gives you
or
the opportunity to
consult.
Know them. Yeah. And they might say, listen, I would love to help you. I think there are some things you need to do first before you're ready for coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's also a good idea. Like, it's okay to have multiple coaches. It's okay to have different coaches. Don't feel like you have this bond with this coach and then you feel bad because now you wanted to maybe try out this other coach. Like, coaches should be happy about that. They should be like, great. Like, we got coaching done. You learned from me. And now, like, if you ask them to recommend another coach for you, like, hey, who else do you think would be a good coach for me to work with?
Oh.
If they're a good coach, they'll be like, I think so-and-so and so-and-so.
Yeah.
Right? They'll be able to tell you because, you know, they're there to improve you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've coached with them, and professional athletes have multiple coaches, right? So, I mean, think about it.
Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you got a lot of different coaches.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to go to a coach who isn't booking, who isn't doing work, who, you know, who knows how they got into coaching.
Lately, we talked about someone. We don't have to go into names, but we talked about someone recently who kind of seems like they were probably part of that old school voiceover world.
Yeah,
but
we have.
I don't think they're quite in the current world.
And with the times.
And that's important too.
You know, all that, once you have kind of all those things kind of set up, you know, I think it's really time to seriously look at your equipment. Right. So what kind of DAW are you using? Your digital audio workstation. Which one are you going to commit to? Because I've heard this and I think it's probably correct. If you start with a DAW, like unless you really have to change for what we need, like
you don't need
it's
much.
Enough. It's
like,
enough.
Yeah.
Like
you
your
don't
DAW,
have to
like
break
don't,
the bank with your DAW.
Yeah, like don't go learn a whole nother language when you just got started learning this language. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing. So so check, right? There's a lot of options out there. There's some free options. There's some very small money to invest options, and then there's options that you can invest a lot of money in. So check that. What kind of mic? And then what kind of interface that you're going to get, and get an audio engineer, to vet you, to vet your sound, to help you make sure your sound is correct.
And you know what? If you are like kind of curious where to start with what equipment kind of thing, or if maybe you started with a base equipment and you're looking to upgrade, like start asking in the Facebook groups, mm-hmm. like, okay, and tell people like, this is where I'm starting. Yeah. I feel like I want to upgrade this, this, and this. And there might be people that say, you don't need to upgrade this, but you know, you might want to look into getting this kind of mic if you've been using this one already to begin with.
Yeah.
Stick with what you know. So you're not like having to confuse yourself and then all of a sudden like kind of slow your journey down, right? Like you don't mm-hmm. want to go from one interface to a completely different one that operates completely different. And now you have to spend time figuring that out before you can start auditioning again, if you already started auditioning or anything mm-hmm. like that. But stick with what you know. And again, and we've talked about this multiple times, you don't have to break the bank. I mean, like you do have to invest, but you don't have to go and get like a Sennheiser 416 right away. I just got a new shotgun mic like last month, and it's not a Sennheiser, but shoot, man, like if you're a longtime listener to the podcast, you can definitely hear a difference in my audio. And I like listening to our podcast even more now because back before when I had the last mic.
Because now Jake's voice sounds awesome. He's like,
yeah, now it sounds amazing. Where before I could always hear it and it bugged me because like, you guys sound so like good and like just like the audio quality sounds so good. And I'm sitting here like sounding like I'm in a hollow box or something, in my opinion. But now, I mean, like I listen to it and it doesn't sound like that at all. So, I mean, like you, and my mic's not super expensive, you know? So, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, I think the sound is so important, right? So mm-hmm. when you're looking into your mic and your DAW and your space, you know, talk to Uncle Roy. Uncle Roy is an awesome resource. George Whitman, he's a great yeah. Person. Jordan Reynolds, the Audio Ninja, he's awesome also. And they can help you dial in your sound, right? Because maybe you're using a mic that doesn't really work for your voice, right? Not all mics are created equal.
Space.
Just like, yeah.
Which is
not,
true.
Yeah,
true.
Not all mics are yep. created equal. Not all spaces are created equal. Not all voices are created equal, yep. right? They all have like a little combination that
but
works
all men are
the
created
best
equal.
Together,
Let's
right?
Let's not forget that.
So sometimes
it's simple as mic placement.
Oh, yeah.
A bass trap or two.
Yep.
It's not always you need something new. If you've already got stuff, sometimes it's taking what you got and upping it.
Tweaking it.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be fine. I was surprised this week or last week, and I had never heard of the guy, but he put out that study on all the interfaces. And I was blown away that, you know, like Audient – was actually ranked higher than some of the UAD for the noise floor. Mm-hmm. And it also, he said further into the thing that Audient and I can't remember what the other one was, that their built-in preamps are as good as going out and buying the Avalon or that stuff and adding it to something else. That
yeah.
you don't really need all that. Because, you know, what he was saying is, and we tell people this all the time, you just need a good, clean, quiet sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I've got clicks. Then try to rinse your mouth out more.
Right.
Well, I've got these big breaths. Well, either tamp them down or learn to breathe through your nose. You mm-hmm. know, there's things you can do. You can't go buy something to fix everything that's wrong.
Right. You got to learn technique for some of those things.
Yeah. Because the last thing you want to do is overprocess your audio.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to put, I remember when I started, I had a whole rack. I think I had like 11 different things on there. I had a de-esser, I had a de-breather, I had a de-clicker, I had a D this, a D that, a D Gauss, D, you know, whatever it was. And I listened back to some of the audio and I'm like, yikes.
Oh, dude, horrible.
It's not like, good. It is not good. And
I didn't know what it, and I booked stuff then and it sounded awful. You're like,
yeah, I didn't know what it,
stuff?
I didn't know what my audio was supposed to sound like. So to me, I'm over there tweaking all this stuff and I'm like, this sounds great. Right. But it's like, dude, it sounds real bad.
Yeah. But we had to learn. And that's why we pass this along to people. Don't do that. That's, you know, we're trying to help you not make those same mistakes. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You do have to learn though. Like, so like
you gotta
spend some time, like,
yeah, you gotta
you're gonna mess up and stuff like that. That's fine.
Yep.
Like, don't get discouraged about that.
Yeah.
You're gonna mess up. I mean,
don't.
Like, yeah.
Have you ever heard the saying, anything worth doing well is worth doing bad.
Right.
Or
what?
Worth,
well, no, I
anything
heard
worth doing is worth, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. Because you have to do it bad to learn how to do it good oftentimes. And people are afraid to start because they're going to be bad. Like you went back and looked at your old stuff. And you're like, I sound like garbage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everybody's going to sound like garbage when they start.
But your clients weren't complaining, I guarantee it.
You have to start, and you start at the bottom. Nobody starts at the top.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody. Sure. Nobody does that. So anything worth doing is worth doing poorly first, of course, because you're going to get better. You're going to get it better. Do it poorly so you can practice.
I've never heard that before.
You've
never heard that? Oh, yeah.
It's like Michael Caine said in Batman Begins, why do we fall? So we can learn to pick ourselves back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
But imagine I said that in a British accent.
Yeah, I know.
Another good next step is, and I call it PSPS, practice, study, practice, study. You're always going to be working with coaches. You're always probably going to be going to workshops, although different types of workshops as you get better at it. Mm-hmm. You're looking for that feedback. You can do mock auditions as you come along and join these groups that offer that kind of stuff. Some of the Facebook groups, I know Levo is one of them, that they have, I don't know if it's monthly, but they have like an open read session where you can go in and read and get feedback. And yeah, you're getting feedback from peers, but that's okay. A lot of these people have been doing it a while and they'll hear things. But if you don't immerse yourself in being a student of VO and growing in it, you know, you're not ever going to get better. You have to commit to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, notice, and so far, you know, we've hit about 9 points. No one has told you to go join a platform. No one has told you to go get on Fiverr or Upwork, because until you get through all of this other, don't put your name out there. And we say that because there are people who will pop in a group and say, hey, I got somebody wanting me to do a 30-second IVR. How much do I charge them? Because I haven't been doing this very long.
Yep.
I don't care if
like
you've been doing it.
It's like jumping the gun, man.
Yeah.
Right.
You either shouldn't be taking the work, or you should know, A, how to price it, and B,
how to deliver.
Or at
least know where
to
find that information. I mean,
exactly.
And it's not hard to find, because it's all over. Everyone's always talking about the GVAA or gravy for the brain. There's rate lists. And it's like, why are you asking this question? And it's because they probably haven't dove enough into it. Mm-hmm. They just heard voiceover. Mm-hmm. I got a mic and I got a recording area. I'm going to start telling people I do voiceover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've seen at least a dozen people
over the
past 2 years go into panic mode because somebody gave them work and they didn't know how to produce the work. You shouldn't have been advertising for that work. You don't need a website.
Right.
You don't need any of this.
Don't run before you can walk.
Exactly. You don't need a website until you are trained, you have a demo, you have something to offer, and you can deliver. Can you deliver it in 10 minutes? If somebody sends you a 30-second spot, can you send them spotless audio within 10 minutes? And I'm not saying you always have to do that, but if you can't do that when it's needed, you're not ready.
Right.
You're just not ready. You have to be a trained professional. You know, we say this all the time. I don't want a first-year med student doing a heart transplant on my grandma. No, I want the doc that's got the experience and knows his stuff.
Who's done 200.
So to be a trained professional, and to say you're a trained professional, you have to have all the tools and be able to deliver what this profession requires before you hang your shingle a la your website.
Yeah.
Now, you know, basically, you don't want to fail, right? Now, here's the thing. You know, Alden said, if you want to, what was your little thing you just said?
I don't remember.
Your quote.
Anything worth doing is worth doing badly.
Okay, so worth doing badly. I think, this would be the situation, right? All of a sudden, somebody wants to book you for work, and now you're like throwing your hands up in there like, oh my God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And so here's the thing. It's good to have those moments, right? Mm-hmm. It's good to have those moments where you're nervous, where you fail. Maybe you fail at an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Fail, stumble. You learn from stumbling. You don't want to like crash the truck into the lake and you're done for. Right. Yeah. You don't want to do something where this giant opportunity comes up and now they're like, well, this guy doesn't know anything. Like
it's
we made a giant mistake. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So learn from the stumbles, right? Get the stumbles in there and that's good. But don't set yourself up for, an explosion. Right. Because you never want that.
And clearly the doing it badly is not for the biggest stage.
Sure, sure.
Do it badly on the smallest
stage. While you're learning, yeah.
Yeah. For learning. It's, badly it's in a the part of the so learning process.
Yeah,
yes.
So you don't have to do it badly when you get
How many things in going to school that you got into a course, you know, and I'm talking about high school, college, university, whatever, you got into it thinking, you know, I want to do this. And the first test and the, you know, go through some lectures and the first test and you're like, oh my God, I'm not getting this at all.
This is my first day of college. And I took like 3 years of Spanish in high school. Right. So I'm like, cool. Took like introductory Spanish in college.
Sí, and puedo hablarlo.
Hey, she came in and she says, okay, like literally the first words, okay, from now on, no English in the class. And she just went off and I was like, whoa, adios.
Exactly.
Adios, muchachos. Exactly. Later. Like it was.
Un momento.
Yeah. Set myself up for that one.
So. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so after you've done all that, and if you have started getting yourself on pay-to-plays, if maybe you have started like maybe trying to cultivate some clients, that's when you got to realize, okay, you got to build a business, because we've said this multiple times. I feel like I've said this so many times in this episode. We've said this multiple times. Voiceover is a business. It is your business and you have to treat it as such.
Yes.
And it's okay to operate off of pay to plays, but you can't rely just on that. You also can't rely just on agencies, at least not anymore. I mean, like maybe like the old school people or people that have been in it a long time, they're able to do that. But that's just not the case for everybody. Like you gotta direct market. You gotta track everything. You gotta run it like a business. You gotta keep track of your expenses. You've gotta
set your hours.
set your hours. Yeah. And stick to them. I mean, like, you know, you've got to just keep track of everything, run it as a business. You are the boss, but you're also the employee, and you're not going to get paid if the company's not making money. So you've got to run the company too, you know?
100%.
Gotta run it like a business. Yeah, it's fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun, but the job's fun, but it is a business. It's a job. It's not all sunshine and daisies. Like sometimes a lot of the busiest days can be your, you know, clerical work kind of thing. Like making, you know, maybe once a week you go through like, okay, let me go track all my auditions really quick. Or let me go make sure I have every job.
All my invoices, make sure the payables, deliverables are done.
Yeah. You've got to think about all those things. You can't.
Collections.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to play multiple roles in this gig. You're not just the voice actor. You're everything.
Yeah.
Those days can be so freeing though, because you're like, I'm not doing any auditions today. I'm going to get caught up on all this work.
Right.
And then you get caught up and you're like, yes, it feels so good. Yeah. You go back to auditioning again.
And then you go back and you're like, dang it, that audition closed. I should have done. No.
Oh, yeah.
There's always going to
be
an audition.
There's always going to be an audition.
Clerical work.
It's always back and forth.
Well, last year, my wife, it was some holiday, and the holiday landed on a Friday.
It was your anniversary.
Huh?
I'm just kidding.
It landed on a Friday. And like some neighbors were doing like a barbecue and stuff like that. And I was like getting ready for the barbecue and I'm getting to do some stuff. And my wife reminded me, because that particular month weren't doing so hot. And she's like, you know, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, it's the holiday. I think it might've been 4th of July. I'm not sure now that I remember.
Of last year?
Yeah, it was last year. Whatever it was like a one off from the weekend, whatever the weekend was. And I was like, it's a holiday, right? And she reminded me, she's like,
not for you.
They're getting paid for their holiday day off, right?
Ooh, it's cold-blooded.
Like, yeah, I know. But
it's harsh.
She knows what I need, though. I need to hear that kind of stuff.
That's a good wife.
I know, right? And she's like, they get paid for that holiday. This is like your working day. Right. You have to understand that. And we weren't at a point where I could just be like, yeah, today's my holiday too, because we're good. And so really the boss, you know, people are like, own your own business, be your own boss. It's the best thing ever. I'm telling you, man, that boss will be the hardest, most demanding boss you'll ever have in your life. It'll tell you when you need to get up, when you can go to bed, when you can and can't go on vacation. If you have enough money to buy this, go out and do something extravagant, whatever it is, it's a business. And every once in a while, that business is going to kick your ass.
And what
bad,
else does
like
a,
hard.
What else does a business need to succeed? It needs an investment. How long does it take? It all depends on how hard you're willing to work, how much time you can put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can invest, in my honest opinion, somewhere in the first 2 years between $10,000 and $15,000, because we're talking about demos, coaching, website, subscriptions.
Subscription fees.
You know, stuff you may do through marketing, maybe going to a conference in that second year. Yep. Somewhere, 10 to 15 grand, depending on what you do. Yep. Coaching's not free. Websites aren't free. Marketing's not free. Yep. You have to be willing to invest, to get a return.
And you are doing this. You're doing this as you're also trying to get work and working.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
this is all encompassing. All this is together. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, what do you do all day? Well, I just audition and I just wait for the orders to come in and I record them and send them. It's like, okay, well, great. Yeah. We'd all be voice actors. Is that the case?
And how many times do we tell people, know your worth? This is part of why you're worth what you're worth, because you invest in all these things.
That's right. You got all this money into coaching.
It's the three T's, right? Yeah. Is what they're paying for. Time, talent, and
training.
Training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And you have to have something you're offering that people want, because there's already thousands of talented people already doing what you're doing. They've already had the coaching. They're established. They have the websites and the demos. You're coming in with nothing. And if you stay green and you don't try to attain that level of professionalism, you have no edge. You have no opportunity. So it doesn't matter how many people tell you, oh, you got a great voice. You should do voiceover. Doesn't matter unless you're willing to do all this other stuff as a preamble to the voiceover constitution.
That's the biggest misconception about voiceover. It is like, you have a great voice, you should do voiceover. Okay,
right.
Well, can you do a bit? You know, can you run a business? Can you stay on top of this? Can you be flexible? No? Yeah. Well, then maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's great tough. Voice. I got it's 2%. Tough. Now I got to work on the other 98%.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Man, it's, I fully believe it's 10%. And I hate to use the term talent, because there's a lot that goes into the word talent, but it's like 90% of you just really want to do it, you know, and you'll work hard at it. I mean, I swear that first year part-time, I probably put in as many hours as most full-time people do now. I put in more than I do now. I had to work harder those first 2 years because I had to not only learn, I was trying to earn. Yeah. So I could pay to learn more. And then by the time I got into that end of that second year, I was able then to have learned enough. I could book better and make a little more money and invest in better coaching. But that's what it is. You're constantly reinvesting every penny that comes in, plus another 50% of what you spend probably. Mm-hmm. It's just,
hey, my taxes,
it can be a money suck.
My taxes that I filed a couple of months ago, I made the most amount of money net gross than I've ever made last year.
But you ever made period or ever made in voiceover?
For voiceover.
Oh, okay.
For voiceover,
wow.
Right?
Good for you, Doug.
And but my net, it was not as much, because my wife was like, wow, you made all this money. It's like, why do we feel like we didn't have any we don't have any money? It's because I reinvested so much back into the business last year. And so, you know,
which kind of helps, but at the same time,
kind of like, nice to have it in my pocket too. You know what I mean?
What
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a journey, and it's gotta be a passion.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you're good with your job and you just want to kind of do some little stuff on the side, like, cool. But if you're really coming into this to make this your career and something that's going to sustain you for the rest of your life, sustain you to get enough money to put into retirement, you know, you're paying taxes. If there's not somebody in your household that works a job that has medical benefits, well, guess what? You're paying out of pocket medical benefits. Like, your company's not doing it for you, and you're getting a huge discount. Right.
And that ain't cheap.
Yeah. And it is not cheap. So, you know, you gotta, there's a lot of things to consider.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a lot of things to consider. Yeah. But all that aside,
still the best job I've ever had.
I'm doing what I love doing,
I know.
Man.
I'm with you. That's the part that makes it so rewarding. And I didn't drop as much as you did last year, I know. But, you know, you go to a conference, you get some demos made. And, you know, new demos, and you do this and that. And next thing you know, you've spent $12,000, $15,000 in a year And then you go look at the VO survey and says most people are making under 40,000. You know, mm-hmm. that means are people like literally spending half what they're making? I don't doubt it. mm-hmm. I don't doubt that at all. If they're going mm-hmm. to conferences and traveling and doing all that, probably mm-hmm. so. But yeah, that's another eye opener. If you think I'm going to get in this and get rich, when you go in there and look at what people are making and how many years it took them to make it, mm-hmm. Look at that survey mm-hmm. and it'll tell you really quick, this is not overnight.
And that's right. another thing too. Overnight. If your introduction into voiceover is you saw on Facebook, you know, hey, get rich talking in a microphone or whatever, I highly suggest you do not go check those.
Yeah. Yeah. I would avoid
those.
Anything that's advertising it that way.
Because yeah. it's not get rich quick.
No. Nope.
Charles and I made that very clear in our workshop, like yep. right away. We were like, by the way, before we get started, this is not get rich quick. This is a business. You got to treat it as such. Yep. And when we probably had 10 people, and I think we got 5 surveys back from the 10 people. And I think at least out of those 5, 4 people actually wrote comments where we asked for comments. And I'm pretty sure every comment that we did get was, you know, under the section, what did you learn? And they said, we learned that voiceover is a business and that it's mm-hmm. not get rich quick.
And it's, not as easy as we thought it was going to be. We thought we were just going to talk into microphones, make money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Any of it's those tough. Places that say, you know, make 6 figures by working 1 to 2 hours a day. The yeah. only people making that money are the one you're sending your money to for clicking that button.
Yeah. The ones that are sending that email to you are making that much, but that's
don't
not
do it.
It.
And yep. if they're just saying that they're on their microphone 1 to 2 hours a day, okay. If you're on you're on your mic 1 to 2 hours a day, unless you're reading audiobooks, mm-hmm. if you're on your mic a couple hours a day, you probably would make 6 figures if you're doing
could be.
Industry type jobs because mm-hmm. you can record a lot of stuff in 2 hours.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
But
sure.
then somebody's got to
do auditions count? Do auditions count?
No, auditions wouldn't
apparently
count.
Not.
Oh, okay.
So then you're talking
do you get
about
paid for auditions,
you know,
Charles?
No.
Well, you might actually.
They end up.
Yeah.
You
are. Yeah.
I get box tickets at the Chiefs games, homie.
You got to edit it, send it out. You got to bill stuff. You got to do this. You got to do that. You're working more than 2 hours a day, folks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the best flexible schedule I've ever had. I can move things around. I can pick stuff up on the weekend if I have to mm-hmm. or at night if I got to do things during the day.
And that's what's beautiful about it. You know, you can work anytime.
You can. And clients are usually awesome. There are some that I deliver to quickly within an hour, 30 minutes some days. But then there are times where I send them an email and say, hey, I had to take my wife to the doctor. Can I get it to you later tonight? And they're going, no, tomorrow's fine.
Yeah.
You know? Man,
or they're like, yeah, we don't need it till Monday, but you know, by Sunday night.
Yeah, build those
fine.
Relationships. Yeah. And you know, that's the other thing. You got to build a lot of really good relationships to make it all work. Yeah. We're not trying to discourage anybody
absolutely
from going
not,
into this. We're just trying to sow some reality seeds that you're hearing it probably both ways. You're hearing us put out transparency and realism and how it's been for us. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you're going to hear some people, a handful, talking about that 6 figures your first year and make money in your pajamas in your closet. And you know, you can wear your pajamas. I've got on a pair of gym shorts right now. I never
there
got to wear
go.
Gym shorts to work.
Oh, you're
I'm wearing
pants?
Sweat shorts
you're
and I have a pants? Hole in my back pocket.
There you go. Yeah. You know, I could be naked from the waist down and nobody would care.
Yeah.
I would care. Shirt, I would it. Not like to know that. So
I'm uncomfortable
case,
already just for
please,
you suggesting
just
it.
Tell me you have pants on.
I do. And shoes, actually.
Well, I mean, yes, so to kind of close it up, I just want to share a quick, like, cool story. My buddy...
has a Super Bowl suite.
Yeah, no. Oh, my buddy lives in Kansas City.
Gag now.
And we, you know, we all went to college together and stuff. And he called me the other day and he's like, hey, Charles, he's like, I was driving home and I was listening to a commercial on the radio. And he's like, did you happen to do a commercial for Cincinnati? And he didn't have to get it. I was like, Cincinnati Insurance Companies. And he's like, yes. He's like, I knew it was you. I
Isn't
knew
cool?
it. And so, like, that's one of the little perks that you get from, like,
just getting caught out in the wild. Is that
yes. Right? Yeah. It's a super cool feeling. But, I mean, all those things, everything in this list is critical, right? They're critical. They're critical steps in moving forward in the right direction in the voiceover business. 100%.
Yeah, take your time, folks. Take your time. If you want to do this, take your time. It'll come around. Unless you wait until you're 58 years old like I did. Don't do that. Start early.
Start young.
Hey, but there's nothing wrong if that's when you decide to get into it, though. Yeah. I mean, like, Troy, there's nothing wrong with how old you were when you got into it. I know you wish you would have, but here's the thing. Did you really know much about it beforehand?
I put it off.
Okay.
And well, that was the thing. I kept putting it off. I wanted
so
to do
put it.
It
off, but if you're just, if you're this age and you're finding out about this stuff, that's different.
Yeah. And the thing was, when I first got interest in it, it would have been, I would have had to gone to, God knows where, you know, I'd had to move to LA or something. There just wasn't a lot going on around here. Mm-hmm. And I did kind of look into it. Well, then about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, my wife was always talking about how I should do something like that. And then to me, it became a focus of, well, maybe I should find some radio stations that'll let me do their commercials. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Yeah. You know, and then the thing came
but
up at work,
research,
and that's how
you know?
That's how I got into it. They just told me at work, you know, hey, you need to go on YouTube and look at this, this, and this, and you know, it worked out great.
Bada bing, bada boom. Next thing you know,
you're on a podcast with three friends, and you're talking about
Nick,
your voiceover.
Well, he was on his own podcast before.
Yeah, that's true.
He still is, but I'm just saying.
I'm still there.
Yeah.
I speaking of that, appreciate you guys taking time today. I know I made the remark, it's sometimes for all of us, we get busy, and it's like trying to herd chickens. If you've ever chased a group of chickens, they're going everywhere, and you can't get them together.
I have, indeed.
I mean, it is what it is. We just, you know, but we want to try to make sure we get together once a week and get information out to everybody. Yeah. We hope you're enjoying it. Be sure and send us an email.
Yeah. Send us your questions.
We'd love to hear from you. Facebook, you can go to the Messenger on Facebook or whatever, or drop stuff in the Facebook group. VO Life, another
Instagram.
VO podcast. Yeah, Instagram. We're everywhere.
Look us up on TikTok.
Just come find us. I actually got a message while we were sitting here. I got a message, somebody saying, hey, I heard you had a PDF, how to get into voiceover. Would you please send it to me? You know, and I do. I've got that PDF that'll tell you a lot of the stuff
for
we just went over.
I remember when you put that together.
Totally free.
$99.95.
And if you really want to hear this story live, you really want to talk about this live, Charles and Jake do workshops in the Texas area. Look for those. And
it's
I'll be coming
area.
To One Voice in August and
area.
Actually speaking on this exact subject.
Yeah.
What not to do and then how to get your marketing going. It's kind of a two-part thing we're going to do in that 50-minute talk. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. And I hope to leave a lot of time at the end for questions because I think people really, especially live, they want to ask questions. And of course, I'll be there all night.
Now, Troy, can they ask you questions before or after if they see you out in the hallway? Or are you going to be kind of like, no, I don't want to talk to you unless you're in my class kind of thing?
Yeah, as long as I don't burn my voice out.
Okay.
You got to be careful at the conferences because you talk so loud.
Yeah, conference voice will set in.
Yeah, I really enjoy talking to people about
it.
Sure. To me,
it's
a passion that I had to get into this, and now it's a passion to give back. And I enjoy it. I enjoy telling people about it, telling them the 100%. Journey. Yep. Well, fellas, let's all finish out this week strong. We got a few days left.
Yeah.
We're only halfway through the month. I know we're all looking for a good strong comeback for April.
Boy.
Let's hope
we
get it.
We got this.
Closing words as we go around the room, Alden.
Hey, that quote. So you know I'm not making crap up. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly. G.K. Chesterton. Okay. So
sounds
G.K.
like you
Chesterton.
Made that name up.
Yeah. G.K. Chester McBottom.
Smart people know who G.K. Chesterton is.
Well, shoot.
One of the great thinkers of the last millennia.
Went to college twice, dropped out of a couple classes, and dropped out of college. You know, I'm not what you would consider a smart person.
All right, Charles, parting words.
It can be the toughest thing that you'll ever do, but it can also be the most enjoyable dream come true thing that you can ever do also. You just got to do it right and be patient and be vigilant. What's the word?
Vigilant.
Yeah, be vigilant, be resourceful, and be humble, ask questions. Mm. And there will be people in this community, because it's an awesome community, that will extend their hand, extend their knowledge, advice, things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jake.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo, buck up and do what you got to do.
There you go.
There you go. It's in a nutshell. Well, we're going to hear from one of our voiceover friends as we close out the episode. We've been doing some sweepers and getting in some sound bites, and you're going to like this one, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.
Hey, it's Jen Henry. Thanks for listening to another VO podcast. Hey, you know, every time you listen all the way through, each guy looks a day younger. So keep it up.
How long before Jacob looks like a toddler?